The Last Supper was a Passover meal. That means that St. John, the youngest of the bunch, would begin the meal by asking the question, what is so special about this night? And then it was the elder who would respond, and that would be our Lord Jesus. And he would recount the story of how God saved the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, how the angels of death passed over their houses because their houses were marked by the blood of the Lamb. While they were eating the meat of the Lamb in their homes, the angels of death passed over them. Of course, we know that our Lord Jesus is the Lamb of God, and that by his flesh and his blood, he saves us not just from slavery in Egypt, but slavery to sin and death. But at the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus added something new. After recounting the story of God saving the people from Egypt, he then went on to take the bread and said to them, take this and eat it. This is my body. And then he took wine and he said, take this and drink it. This is my blood. And the disciples, remember, this is the Last Supper, the last time that they shared a meal together on earth before he went to his suffering and death. And so the disciples remembered everything. They remembered very clearly that the Lord Jesus did not say, take this, it is a symbol of my body. He did not say, take this, this is the presentation of my blood. No. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. Can we ever comprehend this incredible mystery? Can we ever explain this away? No. We have the disciples from the beginning understood it this way, and they passed it on this way, that at the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus gave us the Holy Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, not a symbol, but his body and blood. One way to understand this, having to do with heaven, because remember now, after the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus, which we're going to commemorate tomorrow on Good Friday, the Lord Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's going to suffer and die a horrible death so that he can open the gate of heaven for us. Because you see, you and I as human beings are born into this doomed life. When God created us, he put us in the Garden of Eden. But the devil ruined it all. And so we don't have paradise anymore. When we're born into this broken world. In this broken humanity, there's suffering, there's death. And this is where we are. And we are doomed. We are born to suffer. We are born to die. And the end. But the Lord Jesus, if it was not for him who suffered and died on the cross, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, and rise from the dead, we would be doomed, all of us. But because of his sacrifice, you see, now the gates of heaven are open so that we can share heaven with God. But you see, we are humans. Heaven is God. Heaven is where God is. We don't belong to heaven, you see. It's like fish are made to swim in the water. They cannot go out of water. They don't have lungs to breathe the air. They can only have gills to breathe in the water. Outside of water, they cannot survive. We are born to live here on earth now. We don't have the capacity to live in heaven. So the gates of heaven are open to us. How are we going to live there? We're not gods. Heaven is God. Heaven is where God is. We are mortals. We don't have lungs to breathe heaven. Unless, my brothers and sisters, God gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink, so that in our mortal flesh mingle the flesh of God, so that in our mortal blood flow the blood of God, and slowly by and by, as we eat the flesh of God and drink the blood of Christ, we mortal humans are transformed and given heavenly lungs to breathe heaven. This is why, my brothers and sisters, we go to Mass. Because when we receive Holy Communion, we become one with God. And we are being transformed by and by, so that God instill in us his divinity. No, we will never become gods, but we will have the capability to live in heaven with God. And all of that is due to the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is God who makes the sacrifice so that we can go to heaven, so that we can have heavenly lungs to breathe in heaven and live with him forever. This is how the disciples understood it. And they pass it on to us for 2,000 years. The disciples also understood that they were going to be the instruments when they put out their hands toward the bread and echo the words of our Lord Jesus. Take this and eat. This is my flesh. Take this and drink. This is my blood. They understood that when they spoke those words, it is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ who would transform the bread and the wine into his body and his blood to feed his people. The disciples understood that it wasn't them. They had no power. They knew that. But it was their voice. It was their hands that the Christ would use to bring this heavenly food to prepare God's people to live in heaven. And of course, you know, those are the priests today. The disciples always understood that when they did this, they were called to also give of themselves, that they were called to sacrifice themselves in order to bring this about. And you know, all of them eventually die for Christ. And this is the fate of God's priests today. God calls every priest when he prays the Mass on that altar. The priest is to leave part of himself there as well. The priest is called to die to himself there. It's all about sacrifice, you see. God made the sacrifice so that the heavenly food is available to God's people. The priest will have to make the sacrifice so that they can be the hands and the mouth of God, of Christ, in order to bring this food to God's people. And this is the way it goes. And so tonight, as we celebrate these great gifts, it is important that you, the people of God, would pray for your priests, because it is a great calling to die to oneself in order to offer the sacrifice to God. I know I speak for all the priests that are here, Father Patrick, Father Charles, and Father Jean, that we fail to give of our whole selves because we too are broken. When I think of the sacrifices the priests are supposed to make on that altar, I think of the time when I was in the seminary, St. John's. There was an old Monsignor from Los Angeles. It's been so long, I have forgotten his name now, and he must have died by now. He was old already. And he had cancer of the throat. And his cancer was so serious that they had to have an operation, and they cut half of his jaw away. So as you can imagine, you know, his face was deformed. He didn't have half of his jaw. And so when he talked, wherever he is, he has to carry a handkerchief because, you know, saliva is coming out, and he would have to dip it like this. And so he would come to the seminary and pray Mass like that. And you can hardly understand him because half of his jaw was gone. And as a seminarian sitting at Mass, I thought to myself, Bob, if I were him, I wouldn't do it. If I were like the Monsignor without half of my jaw, it's too embarrassing. I'll be hiding in my room. I wouldn't go out and say Mass. After the Mass, I was young then, I came to the Monsignor and I asked him. I said, Monsignor, aren't you embarrassed when you say Mass with, you know, like that? And Monsignor said to me, that's what I give. That's the sacrifice I make. I'm also reminded of the 12 Franciscan priests back in the days of the communists, when the communists would line up the 12 priests and one by one say, you deny your faith right now, or we're going to shoot you in the head. 12 of them line up. The first priest, no. Bang. He died. The second priest, no. Bang, he died. And they killed them one by one like that, all 12 of them, shot in the head. You know, when I read that story, I was thinking, I can do it if I were the first guy, because I didn't know better. Maybe if I was the second guy, I was still confused. If I were the third guy, I am not sure. Fourth, fifth, sixth guy, forget it. Okay? My point is, my brothers and sisters, I don't know if I can give the sacrifice. I don't know. And that's what I'm called to do. And so tonight, as we come to receive the Holy Eucharist as a gift from God, and the gift of the priesthood, the men who serve the Eucharist, We all know that this is about sacrifice. So I ask that you, my brothers and sisters, pray for me, pray for Father Charles, Father June, Father Patrick, so that we may have the strength and the courage whenever we say Mass, we will die. We will sacrifice ourselves one way or another again, because that's what it's about. Sacrificial love for God and fellow men. And that leads me to the beautiful act of our Lord Jesus at the Last Supper when he bent down and washed the feet of his disciples. I want for us to realize that this beautiful event has been trivialized over and over again. Because it is not simply an act of, you know, bending down and washing the feet of the disciples. It is all in the context of the cross. You see, when he bent down and washed the feet of his disciples, it was a prelude to Calvary, a prelude to the ultimate sacrifice that God gives to mankind. And when he did it, he looked at the disciples, he said, "If I, the Master, can do this, you will do it for each other." You see? So it's not this cheesy, you know, washing each other's feet. Oh, how cute, how nice, how, you know, it's not that. It's about you, the disciples of Christ today, are also called to wash each other's feet. What does that mean? It means to make the sacrifice for each other. You see? So it's not about this symbolic, nice gesture. It's about how much are you willing to give of yourself for God, for one another. When I prepare young couples for marriage, I often ask the couple, often ask the guy, "Well, why are you marrying her?" And the guy would say, "Father, I'm marrying her because I know that she is the one, that she is going to make me happy." And I'll look at the girl and I said, "Well, why are you marrying him?" "Oh, Father, he's the one. I'm marrying him because he is going to make me happy." And I would say to both of them, "Wrong." Because it is not about you being happy. It's about how much you are willing to give of yourself to your beloved. How much sacrifice are you willing to make for your beloved? That's the washing of the feet that the Lord Jesus is exemplifying for us. Not a cheesy symbol thing. It involves life sacrifice. Some young people have come to me and said, "Father, Mass is so boring. I don't like going to Mass because it's so long, so boring, so dragged out. There's so many things. I have so many things in my mind, you know." And I would stop them and I would say, "So? You're bored. So what? You're not coming to Mass for you. The Mass is not about you. The Mass is about how much you are ready to give to God, who has already given everything to you, his his total self on the cross, and then his body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's given you everything. When you come to Mass, what do you have to give to him? That's what it's about. I don't care if you're bored. Come to Mass so you can love God. What sacrifice can you make for God? You see what I'm saying here? That's what the washing of the feet is about. It's not this trivialized things that people made it into, huh? Social justice and, you know, feed the poor and all that kind of stuff. It's about God giving himself on the cross for us. The priest, when he serves at the altar, need to give of himself on the altar. And you, the people of God, when you come to Mass, give of yourself to God and to one another. That's what this night is about, my brothers and sisters. Let us give thanks and praise to God for the sacrifice that God has made out of love for us. And let us ask God, let us say to God together, God, we're sorry. We're sorry that we don't make enough sacrifices in our life. Give us the strength and the courage we need to love you and love one another with a sacrificial love.